welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and delve into the Word this morning, James chapter 1, a familiar passage for the last several weeks we've been looking at, where James says, if you listen to the Word and don't live out the message you hear, you become like the person who looks into the mirror of the Word to discover the reflection of his face in the beginning. You perceive how God sees you in the mirror of the Word, but then you go out and forget your divine origin. But those who set their gaze deeply into the perfecting law of liberty are fascinated by and respond to the truth they hear and are strengthened by it. They experience God's blessing in all they do. And so we find that there is a gaze that we're supposed to have into this mirror we're looking at. It reflects our divine origin. We've been talking about this for the last several weeks, just about who we are in Christ, the amazing things that God did for us in Christ Jesus. We know we got born again, but when we got born again, that new birth gave birth to someone. It gave birth to a new person. The old passed away, all became new. And we found out there's about 200 some scriptures in this mirror that we're peering into that reflect back to us what God did for us in Christ. It's a powerful, amazing truth. It's not something you can wrap your mind around. It's something you can look at and gaze into, but it's something that you get spiritual revelation and becomes real on the inside. And so we've gone through this series of kind of accepting that it's true, you know, defending that in the face of contradictory influences that would say, no, you're not really that person. You know, you're really this person. You're still that old moral condition. It hasn't passed away. It's still here. Where you're defending, saying, no, the Word says it has passed away. I am new. And so there's a defending and a rising up of who you are in Christ in that. And then last week we looked at what we call gazing, you know, at who you are in Christ, gazing into that mirror. And we said how that gaze is not a passing glance. It's a steadfast look. You know, we saw how last week too, when Moses lifted up that bronze serpent, when all the people were having to deal with snake bites and sicknesses and things like that, their healing was through a steady gaze at that bronze serpent. There was healing in that gaze. It was a faith gaze. And in that faith gaze, they found deliverance, they found healing, they found wholeness. Well, in this new covenant, we've been made new in Christ Jesus, and we're also called to a faith gaze. We're called to a gaze, a deep gaze into this mirror to be able to see who we are in Christ. And there's just different facets of this message. And last week, we kind of got through that gazing part, and we said how, before I get there, I'm just going to kind of go where we're going here. We've said, I am going to skip forward here. I'm going to summarize first here. We looked at how we gazed into the promises. How does that gazing process work? His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge, all right? Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. As a result of this knowledge, he's given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price. These promises are that mirror. So that through the power of these tremendous promises, you can experience partnership with the divine nature by which you've escaped the corrupt desires that are of the world. And so there's something about gazing into these promises. Like we said, there's a natural mirror that reflects your natural man's reflection. But there's a spiritual mirror that reflects who you are on the inside. And that's what these promises do. They reflect what God has done for you in Christ. And we're called to a gaze into this mirror. And when we gaze at these promises, something powerful happens. It's not just an intellectual relationship that we have with the promises, but there's a partnership with the Holy Spirit, the divine nature that happens as we look into this mirror. And we saw that gazing, it's a process. I mean, the first time you gaze into that mirror and find out the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost, there's a witness that it's true. The first part of the gazing process is the partnership of the Holy Spirit that'll just tell you it's true. Seems too good to be true, but it's true. You know, that's all I know. The Word says it. Like we said, Peter last week, when Jesus got up and preached his drink my blood, eat my flesh sermon. And everybody left him because of that sermon. And he said, do you guys want to go too? Peter said, who else has the words of eternal life? Peter could not have expounded that eat my flesh, drink my blood sermon, but he just knew it was true because Jesus said it. There's a witness that it's true. And we said that there has been given to you, you have an anointing that abides within, and he bears witness to what is true. You need not that any man teach you, but that anointing teaches you. There's a witness to truth. That's the beginning part of the gazing process. You can hear these things. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old moral condition has passed away. And think, wow, what I just did today, I'm a Christian, but really the old moral condition passed away. How can that be? But it's true. It's in the Word. He said it. The Word said it. There's a witness that it's true, and that witness is on the inside. You know, it's not because I understand it. It's just that the witness of truth is there. That's how the gazing process begins, with the witness to truth. As you continue to witness to truth, then we found out the Spirit of God has been given to us that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. We see that he's been given us that witness that, hey, this has been given to you by God. But he goes on from just the witness that it's true to understanding. It goes from a spiritual witness to a spiritual understanding. In other words, as the Spirit of God works in me, I'm beginning to compare spiritual with spiritual. Okay, the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart, and he tells me to forgive even as God in Christ has forgiven me. I would need his love to be able to do that, so that makes sense. The love of God is in me. I'm going to lay aside all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. That's not something I know I can do in of myself. I'm vindictive at best. So there must be something about the love of God that's in me that makes that work. There is a spiritual understanding. A lot of times when you come to church or, you know, you have ministries, they can help with this process of spiritual understanding as you're comparing spiritual with spiritual. So that in this gaze into that word, there is a process of a witness that it's true, and then an understanding of how it's true and how it works as you're comparing spiritual with spiritual. And then finally, it comes over here to where there's a revelation that it's true, okay? I don't just know that technically it's true because according to my spiritual comparing calculations that it's true, but something happens here where it's revealed. That word reveal literally means to unveil. In other words, the veil comes off and it goes from a conceptual spiritual form to where you see it. And that love of God is so real in your spirit, it's so real in your heart, you see that love. You see that love in you and it is there and you're seeing something by the Holy Spirit. But that happens through a partnership with the divine nature. And in that partnership, there's a process of a witness to an understanding to a revelation. And so that gaze is a process of the Holy Spirit partnering with those promises and making them real in your life. And that's the gazing into that word. Now, I want to reiterate that because that first part of that message really goes hand in hand with this part of the message that I'm about to preach and minister along the lines of this morning. And what the Scripture says, we have the same spirit of faith described in the Scriptures when it says, first I believed, then I spoke in faith. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed day by day. For our present troubles are small and won't last long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things that we see now will soon be gone, but the things that we cannot see will last forever. Okay? So what is he talking about? You believe and therefore speak. That's the same spirit of faith that has those two parts to it. You believe and then you say something. And what are we doing? What are we believing and saying? We're fixing our gaze on things that cannot be seen. When you're looking into that mirror, that spiritual mirror, those are things that can't be seen with the natural eye, which is what he's talking about. Yet I'm looking at something that can't be seen. Well, I'm looking in a mirror that reflects who I am in Christ. I believe it. And therefore, I speak it. And that's where we're going this morning, speaking who you are in Christ. And like I kind of alluded to last week, this is the part of the message that kind of, I didn't really grasp the full, we'll just say, relevance in the importance of the speaking part. It's kind of like I was more of a learner. I want to learn who I am in Christ, and then I want to go on and learn something new, you know? Why do I have to stop and say what I already know? It just, you know, And my attitude was, I'm not against that. That's good. I can make a case that it's good. It's poor meditating and different things like that. But it was kind of like, you know, if you know you really want to do that and really stay there, that's great, awesome. But I want to learn. I want to keep knowing and going on. And I'll tell you what, really the impetus for this whole message, this whole series, has been this thing, this speaking part. Because I wasn't brought back to this because there was something new here to know. I was really brought back to this message, this teaching, because of the speaking part. I mean, I just sensed an urgency of the Holy Spirit to begin to speak what I know. And the illustration that I got was like Naaman dipping in the Jordan, you know, seven times. Come on, I got leprosy here. I need something serious here. I need serious help here. And I'm just going to dip in the river. No, wave your hand. Do something great. It's repetitive. It's redundant. How can this be doing anything? But this morning, I want you to see that when you speak the word of God, that there is a spiritual activity that goes on when you speak who you are in Christ. There is a declaration. You're not doing it for knowledge information's sake. You're doing it to get what's in your heart out. And there is a powerful truth to speaking and declaring who you are in Christ. And there's a few other reasons why I kind of got sidetracked on the speaking part, and we'll kind of get to that a little bit later. But I just want you to see, first of all, just the importance of speaking who you are in Christ. Now, there's different levels that we're going to look at this. The first level of speaking who you are in Christ is simply this, what I'm saying, speaking your gaze. Simply declaring what you see. In other words, you're looking into that mirror, you're looking into that word, and you're declaring, you're speaking what you're seeing in the Word of God. And again, just to kind of revisit what we've looked at before in terms of the relevance of speaking regarding salvation, but what does it say? The Word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now you know you're saved by grace through faith, not of works. It's the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. But what is faith? Faith has those two parts. You believed and you confessed with the mouth. He's talking about a body part here. He's not talking allegorically. He's talking about you declaring with your mouth, confession is made unto salvation. This is where we get an understanding that what we as human beings created in the image of Almighty God, when we believe and speak with our mouth, that there is apparently some spiritual significance to that. Because when I believed in my heart and I declared with my mouth, that's when I got born again. I could hear the gospel 100 times and think about it, but it wasn't until I responded to it and accepted it and said, okay, I believe. I don't just believe in my heart, but I declare with my mouth, Jesus, I declare you as Lord and Savior. I'm confessing my mouth with my mouth unto salvation that you are Lord, and I receive you as the Lord of my life. That's a big deal, that speaking and that declaring part. 2 Corinthians 4:13 again. We have the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures when it says, first I believed and then I spoke. All right? And so here again, I mean, I get that, I see that, and I can see the relevance and the importance of speaking, especially as you're receiving Christ. We make a declaration of faith. Yes, Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. But to see the power of that declaration and that speaking go beyond just the receiving of salvation and seeing it go into all those things that are not seen. We're looking at things, we're gazing into things that are not seen. And that gaze of faith involves believing and speaking. So as we're looking at that, we got to kind of ask ourselves, you know, like I said last week too, speaking is important because speaking what gets what's in your heart out. I can't just come up here, like we said, and have a meditated sermon, you know, and just be thinking about all the things I want to say. And if you're really spiritual, you'll pick it up in the spirit. No way. I got to speak. Why? I got to get what's in my heart out. And there's something about speaking out to the Word of God that puts it out there. And like we say all the time at Door of Life, there's the second sermon. What is the second sermon? It's what the Holy Spirit is saying in your heart about what I'm saying up here. But there has to be a first sermon before there can be a second sermon. All right? And so when you're speaking, you're the preacher, you're declaring, and you're hearing what you're saying, and the Holy Spirit begins to speak. And that's where this process begins to take place. The witness process, the understanding process, and the revelation process. As you begin to gaze into that mirror and hear it and speak it, you're your own preacher, and the Holy Spirit will begin to speak to you about what you're preaching and declaring. Is it scriptural to do this? Did somebody just make this up? Or is it scriptural to take a scripture and to declare a confession off what the Scripture says. Well, let's take a look at the Scripture. Hebrew writer, for he himself has said, and he's quoting something Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What is the Hebrew writer doing here? He's taking a direct quote from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's taking Scripture that had already been spoken, and he's coming to a declarative conclusion. He's saying, because God has said this, I can say this. Because he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, we may boldly say, quote, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? It's like a conclusion, a declarative conclusion. Not just that we can say, we can boldly say because of what was written. We see here in the Apostle Paul, he's expounding some things of in Christ reality, saying, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, having determined our destiny ahead of time. He called us to himself and transferred his perfect righteousness to everyone he called. And those who possess his perfect righteousness, he co-glorified with his Son. What then shall we say, speak? That word in the Greek for say literally means speak. What then shall we speak to these things? He's coming to his own conclusion. If God is for us, who can be against us? He's seeing, he's reading, he's gazing into that mirror of who he is in Christ, and he's declaring, he's speaking, if God is for us, who can be against us? There's a gazing, there's a seeing, there's a declaring. If God says this, then I can say this. If God says this, then I can say this. If he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world, then I can boldly say, I will not fear what this world can do unto me, because he that is in me is greater than he that is in this world. Do I have scriptural precedent for seeing and speaking according to the word of God? Yes, this is what they did. You look at Scripture and you say what he says. Now, we're staying within the mirror. Again, I'm not saying visions of grandeur and fantasizing about something and speaking fantasies, all right? I'm speaking the word. I'm speaking what I see. And in that speaking process is when things begin to happen. You are your own preacher, you understand? I'm preaching here on a Sunday morning, but you're your own preacher when you're declaring the word of God. It has no more authority when I say it than when you say it, because the authority is in the word. It's not in the pastoral gift. It's not in me as a person. It's in that word of God. And when it comes out of your mouth, it has the same authority as when I'm preaching it on a Sunday morning. And that's the revelation that we got to get. That spoken word of God, it is the sword of the Spirit. It is the spoken word of God, regardless of who's speaking it. That's what gives it authority and power. And so that gaze involves, yes, the gazing into it, looking at understanding this partnership with the Holy Spirit from witness to understanding, revelation, but understanding that as I'm speaking, that's part of that partnership. I'm getting the second sermon of the Holy Ghost in that partnering with the Holy Ghost. As I'm declaring it, that's taking me from a witness to an understanding, to a revelation. That's the importance of speaking. That's the thing that I've just got stirred up in my spirit all over again. It's not just another cool Bible teaching that I'm checking off. It's part of my regular, active, daily life, because we're growing in these things. We're clothing ourselves with that new man. And it is a process that we're doing, that we're going through. Now, as we're talking about this too, Jesus put it this way. He said, you know, and this is a few of our mainline translations, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever is in your heart determines what you say. For what has been stored up in your hearts will be heard in the overflow of your words. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's a lot of different ways of saying, hey, if it's in here, it's coming out here. If it's really in your heart, it's coming out your mouth. I mean, that's evidence that it's in your heart, is that it's coming out your mouth. That's why faith in Christ is something that doesn't stop at the heart. It goes on to the mouth. A real faith in Christ goes on to a confession unto salvation. Because it's in your heart, your mouth speaks. Jesus Christ is my Lord. It's the evidence that I've believed that in my heart. You know, there's that process. And you think of it like this. When you think of believing and speaking, it's almost like breathing, all right? Believing is like inhaling, and speaking is like exhaling. Your faith is inhaling, you're exhaling. You're exhaling what's in your you're exhaling what's in you, you're getting it out. You're giving expression to that breathing process. So, you know, Jesus said, man, if you've got something in your heart, it's coming out. I mean, the Holy Spirit, again, when you begin to speak that word from your heart, the Holy Spirit is going to give witness to it. And so that's why we gaze in the first place, to get it into our heart. I can know that I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. It's a factoid, right? But when I gaze into that truth and I gaze into that scripture, I am a new creation in Christ. I'm a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away. What am I doing? I'm gazing it and I'm getting it into my heart. It's going from a factoid to something that's deep in my heart. And when it gets deep in my heart, then my mouth is going to speak. Have you noticed that? When you're really studying a subject deeply, you can be in conversation with somebody about something completely in left field, but somehow that gets into the conversation. Why? Because it's in the abundance of your heart. Your mouth figures out a way to get it in there, because it's in your heart. It comes out. I mean, think about the Packer game today. They're playing the Seahawks. All right, so the Packers score a touchdown. I can guarantee you, Judy at least, is not going to be quietly contemplating how the laws of probability have increased with those additional 6 points over the possibility of victory. No, in some meditative state. No, when you cross into that end zone, you're going to be cheering, yes, go, go, go. Why? Because you are in your heart, you're identified with those Green Bay Packers. There's a deep identification, and it comes out of your mouth when something happens. It just does. From the abundance of the heart, your mouth is going to speak. It's declaring. It's full of that, because it's in the abundance of your heart. It's a process. The heart and the mouth, they're working together. When you speak, you're celebrating. That's why, again this morning, we didn't have meditative worship, where we just put the lyrics up there and all just kind of looked at those lyrics and contemplated the significance of those lyrics. No, Jesus scored the touchdown 2,000 years ago, defeated powers, principalities, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. We're celebrating that victory. This is our touchdown celebration when we worship, and we need expression to say, thank you, Jesus, glory to God. It's in the abundance of our heart, and our mouth speaks. This is just spiritual, natural process. Faith, the spirit of faith believes, and because it believes, therefore it speaks. It's just part of it. And so when we come to, you know, the classic scripture, Jesus defining faith. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. What do you mean by that, Jesus? Oh, glad you asked. For assuredly I say to you, this is what I mean by faith. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, what things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. What is he talking about? He's talking about saying, and he's talking about believing, and he's talking about saying. He brings out that saying part. He says in verse 23, believe once, and he said, and he refers to saying part three times. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. He didn't say, whoever thinks to this mountain, but believes that those things which he thinks will be done, he'll have whatever he thinks. Again, the significance of our mouth doesn't end at the confession of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It starts there. We're holding fast to that confession, not just about the fact that he's a Savior, but we also hold fast to the confession of everything that he did in us as he saved us. We're saying not only is that true that he died on the cross for my sins, but we're also saying that's true that I'm a new creation in Christ. That's true the love of God's been shed abroad in my heart. That's true I am a temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm declaring that too. I'm believing and I'm saying, and there is that speaking part of it. I heard a preacher once say it this way. If your faith can't move your mouth, it's not going to move your mountain. That's well put. If it's in your heart, it should move your mouth. And that's where this gaze comes in. You're believing and you're speaking. There's something that's coming out that's beginning to change some things. It's like your theology. I think it's almost like a theological Pinocchio, where Pinocchio becomes a real boy. You know, and that's what happens in this. You're breathing life. You're speaking that life. And so when you're beginning to speak and your faith is speaking, again, like we said, you can start over here where, okay, the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Okay, great. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. Okay, you know, you have the words of eternal life. You know, I can't wrap my brain around that, but you have the words. It's a witness to truth, right? And I'm saying that. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. And when you're saying the love of God has been shed, you start out by saying it here. You're just saying with the witness that it's true. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. In my heart. It's not just an ethereal concept. My heart, as part of the new birth, has received the love of God, has been shed abroad in my heart. So that's why God can tell me to lay aside the bitterness, the wrath. That's why God tells me to love and to forgive and to be kind and tender-hearted, even as he has, because he put his love in me to do that. That's why I'm not under the law trying to obey forgiveness. There is something God has done in me that gives me the ability to do that. Okay, now that makes sense. You know, this isn't this big, heavy burden. There's something in me. Lord, I understand that love of God is on the inside of me. Praise God. And then as you begin to pray and say, Lord, show me, give me a revelation on that. Show me what that means, the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. There are things that have been eating my lunch. I want to be free from that. And God begins, all of a sudden you begin to compare spiritual with spirit. It's like, man, if this cross can absorb my injustices, if this cross can absorb the wrong things that I've said and done, then this cross can absorb the injustices that have been done to me. This cross can absorb all those wrong things that have been done to me. I don't have to go places because he's already been those places and he's defeated those places. So I can go free and put my trust in him and say, Father, by faith I forgive, even as God in Christ has forgiven me. And the love of God can be so real in you. Like we were saying last week, the Bible says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God who's been given to you. And when that love of God becomes so real in you and somebody even says something to you, you can actually experience the Holy Spirit being grieved about what they said before you even have a chance to be offended. I mean, the love of God can be that real as you're walking in that love. And I'm just telling you what, it's like, oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Because when he came for us, what am I doing too when I'm doing this process and I'm speaking these things? The Bible says that the word, you know, in Hebrews it says, the word of God is living and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. So when I'm declaring the love of God's been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost, regardless of the position of understanding I have, I'm speaking life. I'm speaking that life. And this is probably the thing that just didn't click with me as strongly as it should have. That there, it's not a redundant, repetitive task. There is process as you're beginning to speak and declare, because it is true in the Word of God. And your confession, your declaration of faith connects you to a loyalty to the Word of God that helps keep you steady, that helps keep you on track. Because there's a flesh, the world, and the devil that's trying to get you off of this. But your Word, you're gazing deeply into that mirror, the Holy Spirit will begin to speak and work with your words. And pretty soon you begin to get a revelation. You begin to get a revelation. You begin to see what God has done in you in Christ. And that thing is true, and it's real, and it's free. And all of a sudden, I can't go there. I shouldn't go there. I don't have to go there anymore. I'm powerful in the love of God. I have permission from the love of God to not have to go there anymore. But I can just stay in the love of God and be free because I got a revelation. That drop cloth has come off, and I know who I am, and I know he's in me, and I know he loves me, and I know he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And his love is true. And the parameters of the width and the length and the height have just got a little bit wider. Praise God, and I'm standing in that, and the wideness of that has swallowed up my stuff, and I'm standing in a place of peace. I'm standing in a place of revelation of his love. What am I doing? I'm speaking to mountains all along the way. You know, there's things that are coming against. What about this? But I'm speaking to, but the love of God has been shed abroad. You can't forgive that. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I'm moving mountains. I'm moving things that are coming against my heart and my mind, and I'm declaring that I am who God says I am. And as I'm moving things spiritually, I'm moving toward revelation and walking in who I am in Christ Jesus. Like we said before, a Christian, like, you know, when you're under the law, you're a man and a woman trying to be good. You're trying to do good. You're trying to obey law. Jesus died on the cross for our sins so we could be born again, so we could become new creations, so we could have the love of God shed abroad in our heart, so we could be temples of the Holy Spirit. They weren't new creations. They didn't have the love of God shed abroad in their heart. They weren't temples of the Holy Ghost like we are. This is a new covenant based on better promises. We got it. And like I said, the New Testament was written to new creations, okay? But if I lose my identity and who I am in Christ, then I am, as a Christian, I'm like going back under the law and I got to do that. I can't do that over here. I can only do those things from who I am in Christ. So there is this identity battle for who I am. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. And so it's not about anymore. So the paradigm is this. The old paradigm of I'm trying to be good, that's gone when you're gazing and when you're getting victory in your life. I like one preacher put it this way. He said, Jesus didn't come and die on the cross to make bad people good. He died on the cross to make dead men live. You understand? There's a huge difference between that. Because when you're alive in Christ and you're speaking life, the law of the spirit of life that you're speaking makes you free from the law of sin and death. One of the spiritual activities that happens as you're speaking who you are in Christ is you're setting in motion the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and there's power in those words. The written word of God is living and powerful, and it's powerful as it comes out your mouth. You're submitting yourself to the Word of God, and you're speaking the Word of God. And that has the spiritual strength and delivering ability in it as we do that. All right? So this is an important message. It's an important message to get a hold of. It's an important message to understand. And to just realize that speaking part of it, it is the thing that, this is the cool thing about it. It doesn't happen on a Sunday morning. It happens in process, as you're beginning to speak the word at different places. Yeah, you're still a new creation, even though you're in your car. You're still a new creation, even though you're at home. You're still a new creation, and all of a sudden, something begins to happen. You're hearing it, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and you're believing it, and it's going deeper and deeper on the inside of you. But there is a faith that speaks. There is a faith that declares. There is a faith that makes things real, that makes things alive. And so this is the place God wants to get us. What's the promise? Walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Speaking who you are is a big part of walking in the Spirit. It connects your identity with who you are in Christ. Now, I wanted to say that also to bring us to another point, to another aspect. Speaking, not just speaking the gaze, but you're also speaking under authority, saying what you hear. Now, speaking your gaze has to do with you speaking who you are in Christ in that mirror. But as it relates to other people, I just want to bring this in here. You speak under authority. You speak by permission. You say what you hear, okay? Jesus put it this way. He said, I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who has sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know his commands lead to eternal life. So whatever the Father tells me to say, so I say whatever the Father tells me to say. John 14:10, the words I speak are not my own. But the Father who lives in me does the work through me. This is very important because this is probably one of the things that has set me back from declaring who I am and believing who I am and confessing, and is because sometimes I can be here, right? And oh my goodness, I had a witness of the love of God, and finally I got a revelation and I'm walking in a place in God. And maybe my brother over here, all right, just went through some heartbreaking, heart-wrenching situation. And he's in pain. You know, agony. You know, gloom, despair, agony on me. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Sometimes, at the point of pain, all right, he may not be expounding the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints at that moment in time when you're in pain, all right? And sometimes what's happened is we get a revelation of this, and we want to go over to that brother and say, hey, bro, no, stop, 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 stop. Don't say another thing. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You have the love of God shed abroad in your heart. You should know that you have the power, you have the ability to forgive that. You can go on, and you don't have to do that. You know, and slam what's taken you months, sometimes years, to get, and try to get it to him in 37 seconds to set him free and deliver him and heal him. Now, I'm saying this as a word of faith type church that all of us at some form been guilty of. Whether it's an overt or whether it's a gentle encouragement, backhand, all right? However that might come across, I'm bringing this in here because I want us to be a strong speaking, declaring word of faith, knowing who we are in Christ Church. Whether you realize it or not, we're in the middle of a huge building project. There is a huge foundation of identity of who you are in Christ that is going to get weaved into the fabric and the culture and the atmosphere of Door of Life Christian Church. That's my heart. That's the Word's heart. But sometimes the thing that short circuits that is when the confession police come over here and try to correct every little thing that you're saying and doing. And that can really add insult to injury. You understand? Jesus didn't do that. What did Jesus say? He said, I have many things to say to you. I'd like to, but you can't bear them. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth. He won't speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me. He will take of what is mine and declare it unto you. We're talking about who we are in Christ and speaking who we are in Christ. Now, as it comes to that mirror, you just cut loose and you go for it. But when it comes to other people, you don't say what you see about your reflection in that mirror. It took a while for you to see the things that you see in that mirror. It took a partnering with the Holy Ghost over time. And so you don't put the reflection that you see and make them have to see that. When people are hurting and you're ministering to people, we minister the way Jesus did. He didn't say everything he knew. He said what the Father gave him permission to say about what he knew. And as a strong confession church and declaring who we are, I don't want a bunch of sirens going off. You know what I mean? When you come to, I don't even want to come to church. I said something. No, I don't. I mean, I remember the first time I got pulled over. I was in Bible school, and it was just a guy, kind of a fresh guy I met, and I said, hey, great, oh, so great chatting with you. Man, I'll see you tomorrow. Take care. Take care. Yeah. Sorry, he looked at me, he said, I don't take care. I don't take your care, and I don't receive your care. I cast my cares on the Lord. I was corrected, rebuked. You know, Jesus said, don't judge according to external circumstances. Judge righteous judgments. It's not a righteous judgment to take that word care and twist it into something I never meant. The way he said it, you would think I'd have said, anxiety and deep depression be upon you as you go. I didn't mean that. And I'm just saying, this is where the confession cop stuff can really drive people away from the saying part of it. I've been hurt myself, lifting hands, and I get a little, oh, I get a dot everywhere, and just, you know, that's even a harsher religion than the law. I can't even just say it. It's just, and so, and God, you know, the enemy can take anything God created for good and make it bad, push it to a ditch. I want to be strong in confession. I want to be strong in our identity, but I want to stay out of this ditch. It's very important. Think about that. Jesus just said what he heard. That's what it means to not speak on your own authority. If I come over here and I start telling this person what they should be doing, who they're, but it's true, but it's the Bible, but it's the Word of God. But has God told me to say that? If I'm just saying it, I'm speaking on my own authority. But if I wait and I listen and say what he tells me to say, then I'm speaking on his authority. These are two parts of the confession message and movement we got to keep separate. Faith works by love. There's a big part of love here. Yes, when it comes to you, all right? You bring your body under subjection. You bring your flesh under subjection. You clothe yourself with the new man. I don't clothe somebody else with the new man. I don't bring their flesh under. These are things I do myself. When it comes to other people, though, I'm very tender. I'm very listening on the inside to what does God say about what he wants me to say. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you're going to say is nothing. You're going to go and pray, Lord, give me a door of utterance in their life. Give me a door that I could speak, but right now I know I don't have permission. That's what the Bible says. You who are spiritual, go to session one, right? You who are spiritual, you know, be slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The flesh is very slow to hear, quick to speak. But you who are spiritual, you're listening on the inside. Man, the first response to a person who's broken and weeping should be to weep with those who weep, as I'm listening on the inside. And sometimes just giving them the great privilege of being able to be heard and getting what's in their heart out. Listening the whole time. And again, only saying what you hear the Father say. Jesus knew what they could bear, what they couldn't bear. And the Holy Spirit will help you know that too, as you're listening to people. This is just a very important part of it. I'm speaking my gaze of who I am regarding myself, but I'm speaking under authority what I hear him say regarding people and things like that. That's an important thing. And here's a nice little guideline too, because you come at those places and it's like, God, help me, show me what to say. I need wisdom here. James gives us a good pattern for that. James chapter 1, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And then he goes on to tell you in chapter 3 what it looks like when you get the answer to your prayer of wisdom. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of those who make peace. Wow. That's what it's, and so that's what it means. Let peace rule in your heart. And that wisdom is going to come through peace. There's going to be a direction. It's going to have those qualities about it, you know? And that's why the scripture says, you who are spiritual, consider yourself in a spirit of meekness. You see this quality as it comes to correction. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about regular conversation. I don't have to wait and get a word. You can watch the Packer game and do that. I'm talking about areas of correction, all right? Not some weird, strange thing. I got to get a revelation on everything I say. I'm talking about people stuff. I'm talking about listening for permission as it relates to ministering to people. What God shows you is okay for right now. It's probably going to be less, maybe, than you want to say. But you know the first characteristic of love? It's patient. I want to say it now. I want to get it off. Love is patient and it's kind. The way you're going to say it is going to be patient. And you're going to hear, what I've got now? What can I say now? Okay, great. Praise God. That's love. That's the love of God. And, you know, it's kind of like this. If you think about Jesus, what he did. We expound on this, I know, every communion Sunday. But he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He was tempted in every point as we are. And yet he only said what he heard the Father say. He was submitted. The Holy Spirit who lives in you right now, he's not saying what he wants to say. He doesn't speak on his own authority. The stuff you get from the Holy Spirit, he waits, and he gets from Jesus. The same way Jesus said what he heard the Father say, the Holy Spirit takes, he doesn't speak on his own authority. That's what Jesus said. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears. Jesus said, I say what I hear. The Holy Spirit is telling you what he hears. How much more, in that moment, should we defer to the Holy Spirit? And come under authority and say what we hear. The Holy Spirit isn't telling us everything he knows. He's telling us what he hears. And we function that way too. As it relates to confession of the word, we got to function that way. We got to think about it that way. Because the bottom line is, if I don't submit, if I don't take that time to stop, if I'm basically saying, you know, and like I've said all the time, I'm your pastor, not your master. Okay, I'm not telling you what to say and what not to say. But I am saying this. We should all be submitted to him to hear what he wants us to say. Because if I'm not, if I'm the Lord over my own words, then I am speaking on my own authority. But when I defer, like Jesus did to the Father and the Holy Spirit does to Jesus, I do to the Holy Spirit, then the next thing that comes out of my mouth the peace of God should be ruling over whatever that is. Okay? This is an important aspect. I just wanted to put this in here because as we're growing as a church, this is a big part of that. We give each other, you needed some space to get from here to here to here. And I thank God for it. And we need to give each other space to go through that gazing process too. And say what we hear, because there's times that God will tell you what to say. And it will be a blessing, and you'll be part of their process right here. They're comparing, and it's exciting to do that. But you're not doing it because they violated your confession of faith, and you're anxious, and you're doing it because God has given you peace to say that. And that's when there's the edifying of the body and the increasing of itself in love. We need this as a Door of Life, Word of Faith Church. I believe God wants to do major things. I believe this is a house of miracles. I believe God wants to do things. But there's a foundation in the Word and love that we need in a powerful way. That's why I say we're in the middle of a big spiritual building project right now. God's doing stuff. God is doing amazing things. But it's built. It's built in faith in the Word and love as we're growing and growing in that mirror and excited and giving each other room to grow. Being kind, tender-hearted. Praise God. And I'm just going to quickly end with this final point. Speaking through prayer, asking to see more. There's a speaking my gaze where I'm growing in that place. There is the speaking under authority where I'm, regarding other people, I'm saying what he tells me to speak. But then there's a speaking to God about who you are in Christ. And that's where we have powerful prayers in the Word of God where we see, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. This is me praying. Lord, I pray that you'd give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Lord, I open the eyes of my understanding that they would be enlightened, that I would know what is the hope of your calling, what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding riches of your power toward me as a believer. Lord, I pray for that. I pray for revelation. We see another prayer that the Apostle Paul has in Ephesians. I pray that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend. I'm not supposed to comprehend. I'm praying to comprehend. The Word of God has put a prayer in there for me to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height, and to know, I'm praying to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. That sounds contradictory. How can I know something that passes knowledge? You can. You can know something that passes. There's a peace that passes your understanding, and there's a knowledge of the love of God that passes your understanding. It comes by revelation that you may be filled, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's quite a prayer. I didn't make that up. This is not a spiritual ego talking. This is the anointed, holy, inspired Word of God talking to every believer. Set our sights a little higher. Praise God. Seeing it, this is the mark. I want to know the love of God that passes knowledge. What is this? This is praying. This is, you are praying. So many times, I'm just, again, telephone myself here, I get this. I get the witness. And I'm working through it. I'm getting a lot of cool teachings and understanding how it's true and all that. But a big way you get from here, from understanding to revelation knowledge, I know this is simple, you pray for it. So many times you're going to be here and it's an answer to prayer. God, I need to know the depths and the riches of your that inheritance. I need to know, Lord, the dimensions of your love. Make that love real in me. You'll get revelation. It's not because of the 42 scriptures that you are constantly, I mean, that's part of the gazing, but there's an answer to prayer that comes by revelation. And God will just say, okay, I know what you have need of before you ask. Ask, seek, knock. To him who asks, receive. To he who seeks, finds. To him who knocks, the door will be opened. So sometimes the doorway from here to there is just asking, you know, because you can kind of get into pride over here if you're not careful about how much you know about something. You get an understanding. No. I don't want to be an expert in understanding. I'm going toward revelation. I want to see something, Father God. Show me something. Open the eyes of my understanding. That love is real. I can see that love as clear, as sure as I can see that screen. I can see his love. I can see it. It's been unveiled by revelation. Praise God. Like Paul said, one waters, one plants, one waters. You tend it, but then God gives the increase. In prayer, what is it? You're speaking to God. There's a speaking to yourself as you're gazing in the mirror. There's a speaking to people as you're listening to what you say. But there's a speaking to God, asking to see more, wanting that revelation. And here's the final scripture today. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks.
For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I love that. It's like this, this is the 24-7 stuff, all right? He can't talk 24-7, obviously. You don't have a voice to talk 24-7. That's not what he's talking about. But he's talking about a heart, a consciousness, an attitude, rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, and everything giving thanks. Have you ever come to the scripture and wondered, okay, I thank God for the two cool things that happened yesterday, but now what? Go back to the mirror and find out who you are in Christ and begin to rejoice that you are a temple of the Holy Ghost. Rejoice that the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. Rejoice that you are a new creation. Rejoice that the old has passed away. Give thanks for the fact that he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. A great way to fulfill the scripture is when you begin to speak the word of God. But Philemon 6 says it this way, and I pray that the participation in and sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in our identification in Christ Jesus and unto his glory. So we see that process, and I'm praying as I'm participating in and the sharing, there's a sharing of my faith, but you know there's a participating in your faith. There's good news to the unbeliever, but there's good news for you too. Acknowledging every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus is how you rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. You don't have to have a good day to rejoice always and pray without ceasing. Because whether you have a good day or a bad day, you're still a new creation in Christ. Those in Christ truths are still true in you. They can always be a starting point for rejoicing. They can always be a starting point for giving thanks. They can always be a starting point for prayer. Lord, revelation in these things. I want to acknowledge these things. These things that are in me in Christ Jesus. So speaking who you are in Christ, there's different dimensions of this. Yes, there's a speaking your gaze, declaring what you see, appreciating that word of God, all right? And speaking under authority, saying what you hear. When you're dealing with who you are in Christ, when you're dealing with who somebody else is in Christ, you don't know what they're seeing in that mirror. You know, there's a lot of different conditions. You're right, your relationship with them, your rapport, there's a lot of different dynamics, but the Holy Spirit knows. And that's why we're pausing to not just dump what we know, but to listen and say, Lord, what can I say about what I know to them right now? And then speaking through prayer. That's when I'm directing it to God. Lord, more. I want to get from here to here. I got so many cool things here, but Lord, I want to see it. I want to know you. I want to hunger, thirst after righteousness. Blessed are they. They're going to be filled with revelation and understanding. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the truth of your word, that we can speak and declare who we are in you. That as we look into that mirror, it doesn't just stop at believing in our heart, but it goes forward into a declaring with our mouth that what we see in that word is true. We believed and therefore we've spoken. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I'm a child of God. I look into your mirror this morning and I purpose to be the preacher, to declare your word, to declare what I see and know something's happening. As I speak it, there's a partnership with the Holy Spirit. He's bearing witness that it's true. He's giving me understanding how it's true. And he's bringing me into revelation to where I can clearly see it and walk in it. And Lord Jesus, I want to defer. I want my words to be under authority. I don't want to speak on my own authority, but I want to stop and listen and hear what you would have me say. You know my heart perfectly. You know their heart perfectly. I will wait. I will let peace rule and say what I have peace about saying. And Heavenly Father, I thank you for the promise of the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, that if I ask, I receive. If I seek, I find. If I knock, that door of revelation will be opened up to me, and I will walk in who I am. I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. There's just a few things. I didn't want to break it up. I wanted to keep it together because there's a certain continuity of thought I wanted to bring in. And I appreciate your heart and hook up and really sticking with it. But understand that as we're talking about these things, we're talking about who you are in Christ, and there is process in this stuff. We're all growing at different places. You know, things that we knew were technically true several years ago, you're like walking in the reality, more understanding or the reality of. And so that's the heart. We're all growing, no pressure. Door of Life is a warm, loving, caring family. And we are not going to be pulling people over. We're going to be listening on the inside. We're going to be speaking the truth in love. We'll be speaking from that tender heart. The way Jesus deferred to the Father and the Holy Spirit defers to Jesus, we defer. Praise God to the Holy Spirit inside of us as he leads and guides us into all truth. And finally, just declare that revelation. Sometimes that's been my missing link. The Lord just says, pray. Just ask for that revelation. I want to answer your prayer. You've studied. Good job on the study. Good job on the meditating. Good job on the speaking. Now just ask. Sometimes it's just that asking. He wants to answer those revelation prayers. Amen. Praise God.